Turning your Bibles to Romans 15, as we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And this, of course, is a powerful letter written in about AD 57. It's a foundational letter of the New Testament. It's the letter that helps us to know and apply the truth and principle from God's Word. We've divided the book, if you remember, into two big sections. Chapters 1 through 11, we call doctrine and teaching. Chapters 12 through 16, the application. Now, we've moved from the teaching part, the part where Paul dealt about sin and salvation, Christian life, security, Israel, and the church. We moved from that to Paul's application part. And we've seen that he talked about using our lives, offering our lives as living sacrifices, using our spiritual gifts. We've seen how we're to relate to fellow believers. And we've talked about strong believers and weak believers and choices and preferences, convictions, all of that. Well, this morning, as we continue and as we look at our passage this morning, Paul's going to give us some specific, going to get very specific in a number of areas. In fact, this morning, two things are going to stand out. One in verse 4 and then in verses 5 and 6, we'll see how that ties together. We're going to see in verse 4 the importance of the Word of God. The Bible is the key to our lives. And we want to think a little bit about the Bible. And then the second thing that we see really in verses 4 and 5, or excuse me, 5 and 6, he talks about unity within the body. He says something about having of the same mind and one accord and one voice and all of that. And there's a lot in this passage. There are a lot of things that we can understand and apply in our lives. We want to be encouraged to see the importance of the Word of God and to see also the importance of unity within the body of Christ. So there's some great things we'll see. 2 Timothy 3:16, 3:17, that passage is so famous. It's a famous verse. Most of you, or many of you in this room, know it. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, that verse is powerful, and he says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for us. The word inspired really literally means God breathed. It's as if God breathes His truth through certain people that they wrote down His Word. And we have God's written revelation. We have the Word of God. How do you view the Bible? What do you think about it? Do you love it? Do you love to study it? Do you thank God for it? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of God. Some Bibles even say rightly dividing the Word of God. We're to study the Scripture so we can know how it fits together. The Bible is vital. We have a course which there are several studies that we have in our church that you've probably heard of. One is the 4:12, and that's called the Foundations. There's another study called the 2:2, which really gets into theology. It's one of the favorite things that I get to teach, and I love it. But the first five lessons of the 2:2 study all deal with the Word of God. We see an overview of the Old Testament, the New Testament, how the Bible fits together, timeline of everything to some great things. The goal is that we need to know and apply the Word of God in our lives. It is the foundation for our growth and for our service. But there's a question. Do we need to know the whole Bible? I mean, what about the Old Testament? Because there's some parts there that they're long and some of them are hard and there's some names you can't even pronounce. And there's even some sections that seem to be, some people say they're actually boring. Should we know the whole Bible? In fact, some have said that, listen, we're Christians, we're the church, we're the body of Christ, and what we need to really know is the New Testament, basically the letters, because the letters are written to the churches, and that's us, and so we really need to emphasize the New Testament part, especially the letters. Is this true? Well, as we study our passage this morning, we're going to see that Paul reminds us that the Old Testament writings, in fact, Scripture as a whole, all of Scripture, is given for our instruction and our encouragement. We need to study the entire Word of God. And so, as 2 Timothy says, all Scripture is inspired of God. May we be encouraged as we look at Paul's passage this morning, as we see this passage in Romans, to study it and to grow. Now, as we begin, let me give you just like a brief sort of overview of chapters 12 through 16. This is where we are. We've been seeing this is the application part of the book of Romans. You remember chapters 12 and 13 where he dealt with offering our lives as living sacrifices and using our spiritual gifts? Then in chapters 14 and 15, that's where we are. He's dealing with relationships within the body. And the emphasis, almost the whole emphasis of chapter 14, was dealing with weaker and stronger believers and how we relate to one another and our convictions and our preferences and all of those kind of things. And there was a verse that was sort of a summary verse last time. If you look at Romans 14, look at verse 19. Look what he says. So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. He says, let's go after the things that lead to peace and edification. And when he talks about peace, remember he's been talking about don't cause your brother to stumble, don't cause a weaker believer to stumble and all that. He says, let's let's pursue and do the things that we don't cause others to stumble. Let's keep peace within the body. And then let's do what we can do to help people grow. And you remember how we basically ended last week? It was bottom line was this. Our Christian life is not about us. While we're on this earth, we're not here for us. We are here to represent Jesus Christ, to love God and to love others, to serve God and to serve others. And so bottom line, we're here to help people grow. That's the key. Lead them to Christ and then train them and equip them and help them grow. Well, that's what we've been seeing. Now, from that, as we begin this morning in verse 4, and it's just a little small section this morning, but as we get in this section this morning, he's going to move to some specific areas, some instructions dealing with a number of areas. Let me break down the passage for you. I've got a little outline for you. And actually, this morning, we're only going to look at chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. I put verse 7 in there. I'll tell you why in just a second. But in verse 4, it talks about the importance of the Word of God. We're going to spend a little bit of time on the Scripture and how important it is, and that's vital, and we'll see that. And then in verses 5, 6, and 7, we see Paul's prayer. It's actually a wish. It's a wish for the unity of the believers. And we're going to emphasize 5 and 6 this morning. When we come back next week, we'll get back to chapter to verse 7 and then tie that into the rest of the passage so it'll all fit together. Now, as we look at this passage this morning, we want to see God's Word and the charge for unity. So let's begin. Now, think about this, and this is true. The Word of God is the foundation for our lives. It is the foundation at Countryside. In fact, what we say is this, for our church as a whole, not only individually, you should emphasize the Scripture, but our whole organization, our structure, our ministries, everything that we do as a local church goes back to the Word of God. So if you were to say, what do you guys believe about this? Or how do y'all try to do this? Or how do you do? We say, well, let's go back and see if the Bible deals with that. And we're going to try to do what the Bible has to say. It's the foundation. Let's see what Paul says about the Scripture. Look at verse 4. He says, this is chapter 15, verse 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now he says, whatever was written in earlier times, written in the past, was written for our instructions. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the Bible, of course. Now when this was written about 57 AD, you already had probably the book of James. You had 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. You may have had already 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You had possibly a couple of the Gospels, but that was all New Testament. That's all they had at this time. So when he says the things that were written in earlier times, he's referring to what we call the Old Testament. Now there's a few New Testament letters already written, but that's not what exactly he's dealing with. And he says, just remember that whatever was written in earlier times, we'd say Old Testament. They wouldn't call it Old Testament. In fact, if you were Jewish, they would call it Tanakh, which is the Torah, the Nebim, and the Ketubim. We call it the Law, the Writings, the Prophets. That's not what they call the Old Testament. He says, now, whatever was written in earlier times, it was written for our instructions. Now, he's just quoted an Old Testament passage. What we call Old Testament is Psalm 69, verse 9. That's verse 3. That's the end of verse 3. He quotes that. And so he's saying, whatever has already been written in the past, Scripture-wise, it's for our instruction. Let's think about the Bible for just a second. It is powerful. It is the Word of God. And what we realize is that God has revealed Himself to mankind. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know about Him. Let me tell you, there are people who will say things like, well, I wish God would talk to me. Well, the truth is, He gave you a whole book. He gave you a whole book. And so dig the Scripture, because that's what it is. And, you know, God does want us to know about Him. In fact, God has revealed Himself to us in three big ways. The first is through this creation, through the world. Romans chapter 1 says, from the creation, God's eternal power and Godhead can clearly be seen. So people without excuse. People know about God from the creation. That's one way God has revealed Himself. Second way is through His Son. At a point in time in history, God sent His Son into the world, Jesus Christ, to become a man. You remember what Jesus said? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. God has revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then the third way that God has revealed Himself to us is through the Word, through the written revelation. We have the Word of God, which is in written form, that we must know and we must apply. In fact, you can look and we've got the whole thing from the beginning to the end. We have God's Word. Now, I want you to think about the Word of God for just a second. Hold your place in Romans, right there, Romans 15. Turn over toward the back of your Bible to 2 Timothy, to the verse that I quoted a while ago. You remember I quoted all Scriptures inspired by God. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to look just very briefly at verses 16 and 17. I want you to see how some things tie together, because Paul says that whatever's been written in the past is written for our instruction. Now, for us, the whole thing was written in the past. We got the whole Bible, and it is written for our instructions. I want you to see what he says about it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 16. He says, and this is, of course, Paul writing this as well, and Paul says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that, here's the result, so that the man of God, we might say that the believer, may be adequate. The word adequate means mature, equipped for every good work. Now, he says, Scripture is God-breathed. That's God breathing through, giving His revelation through people, so that, he says, it's inspired by God and profitable. Now, revelation is God making Himself known. He's made Himself known in a lot of ways. Revelation is God making Himself known. Inspiration is God making Himself known in a written form. That's why we say all Scripture is inspired. It is God making Himself known in a written form. So that's what we have. Now, 2 Timothy says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. And he lists things, teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that we be adequate and equipped and all of that. I want you to stop for just a second to think about the Word of God. It is so powerful. Let me give you four things I want you to see about how powerful the Word is. Four things. The Word of God is alive and powerful. The Word of God is effective. The Word of God is truth. And the Word of God helps us to grow. I want you to think about it. First of all, the Word of God is alive and powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is alive and living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, goes to the right, to the heart of the issue, divides the soul and the spirit. It even judges the thoughts and the intentions of our mind. So the Bible's alive. When you study the Bible, this is the living Word of God. It is alive and powerful. So it changes us. I mean, it is amazing. Spurgeon used to say, you don't have to try to defend the Word of God. The Word of God is like a lion. We don't defend the lion. We just turn it loose. Well, we just turn loose the Bible, and it will defend itself. It's alive and powerful. The second thing is it's effective. It never comes back void. Isaiah 55:11 says the Word of God never comes back void, but always accomplishes the purposes that God has for it. You realize that today, as we study Romans chapter 15, verses 4, 5, and 6, that every one of us in this room are at different levels, possibly of maturity and growth and different needs and everything, and yet God takes the Word of God from Romans 15 and touches every one of your lives in the way that He wants to do it. It never comes back void, but always accomplishes purpose. The third thing, it is truth. There's no doubt about it. In John 17:17, Jesus speaks and says, thy word is truth. In a world of confusion, in a world full of opinions, in a world that says, everybody's got to decide for themselves what they think is right. No. There are rights and wrongs. It is the Word of God. It is the truth. We can go back to the Scripture because it is what is truth. And then last but not least, it helps us to grow. You're in the 2 Timothy passage, and look at verse 17. It says, so that the man of God, so that the believer may be adequate. The word adequate literally means equipped. It means mature. It means that you're growing up, and that's the plan, that the Bible helps us to grow and serve. So the Bible is from God to man. It is effective. It is truth. It is to help us grow and serve. Now, if your Bible's like mine, all I have to do is look on the other page. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Look what this says. Since we have, and as you turn there, just think about this. Since we have the Word of God, which is alive and powerful, which is effective, never comes back void, accomplishes its purpose, it is the truth that helps us grow, what should we do? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The word be diligent has an idea of to study or to dig. He's saying study the Word of God so you can know it, so you can handle accurately the Bible, so you can know how it fits together. The question would be, do you understand the Scripture? Do you know how it fits together? If somebody asked you questions about the Bible, can you say, well, okay, now over here in the book of Genesis is what happened here, and this is the first part of the Bible, this is how this fits, and then here's these books right here, and here's what they're for, and now here's the New Testament, here's how it fits together. Gospel of Matthew was written for this, and here's the book of Romans. Can you do that? Do you know the Scripture? Do you handle it accurately? Do you know how it fits together? He says you should study it to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of God. We must be able to do that. Now, go back to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Paul says, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instructions. The entire Word of God is for our benefit. It's to help us know God, to help us to serve Him. In fact, it's been said this. It says the Old Testament is the preparation for Christ. The Gospels, we see the presentation of Christ. And Acts through Revelation, we see living our lives for Christ. So we need to study the Bible, and you need to always study in its context. And that's one of the reasons at Countryside, we always go verse by verse, passage by passage, taking in the context. Historical, literal, grammatical interpretation is what we call it, so you can understand the Word of God. Prof. Hendricks of Dallas Seminary used to say this. He'd say, the Word of God was given to us to change our lives. See, a lot of books were given for information, but the Word of God was given for transformation. And that's what we do. The Christian life is based on the Word of God. You've heard me say many times, Christian life is a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Scripture. A walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. So he says, whatever was written in earlier times, we would make the application, the whole Scripture. They would make the application, all of the Old Testament and just a little bit of the New Testament. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Now, the word instruction literally means training. It's to train us. We're taught the Word of God. It helps us grow. That's why he wrote the first 11 chapters of Romans, which deals with all of this instruction and all these truths and all this stuff to help us put it together. And then, of course, chapters 12 through 16, we say, how do we live this out in our lives? And notice what he says. Whatever was written in early times was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, perseverance means to keep on keeping on. As we keep on keeping on studying the Bible and being in there and being, studying it and understanding it. And then he says, and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. See, the Scripture encourages us. The Scripture encourages us. The word encourage literally means to come alongside and to help. And as we study the Bible and as we know the truths and we know what's right and wrong and how to live, it encourages us as we go through life, and it challenges us to live for Christ and to do what's right. And the Word of God is our source of strength and encouragement. Now notice the end result of this thing. So that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. As you study the Word of God, as you live by the Word of God, as the stuff that has been written for us in the past, it's for our instructions so that as we persevere, as we get encouragement from the Scripture, we might have hope. Now, understand, and you've heard me say this many times, so for most of you this is not new, but the word hope doesn't mean what we think hope is. Like we say, I hope I get to go to the game, or I hope it doesn't rain, and we don't even know. But the Greek word for hope is the word elpis, and it means an assurance of the future. It means an eager anticipation of the future. It's looking forward to a sure thing. When we go to the Scripture and we study it and we base our lives on it, we have the hope because we're going to the promises of God's Word. And we can say, whatever God's Word says is right, and I can rest my life on that. So he says that we might have the hope, and the hope of God, it does. The Word of God gives us the hope of the future. God's plans, purposes, his dreams, his provisions, all of that is found in his Word. And think about the hope of the future. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. We have the hope of the Word of God. So here's a question for you. Are you looking at the Word of God as the basis for your life, your source of hope and your source of encouragement? How important is the Bible in your life? Now, let me tell you, what we've got to do, sometimes there's a disconnect because we say, oh yeah, I love the Bible. The Bible's good stuff. And yet, when we walk out the door, we disconnect from it and we don't even base our life or our worldview or anything on this. Do we base our lives on the Scripture? How important is the Word of God in our lives? And I think there's two things that we want to do. One is, I think each one of us ought to have an individual time in which we study the Scripture. I'm not talking about a quiet time. I think a quiet time is you pray and you write down stuff and maybe you read a couple of verses or something. I'm talking about a time in which you study the Scripture, which you dig the Scripture yourself. Maybe once a week. And if that, I made this application in the first service, if you said, I'm just going to take 30 minutes a week off by myself, I'm going to study a book I want to study, something I've always loved, I'm going to, maybe Philippians, something, and I'm going to study that book myself. Put the Word of God in your mind so it can change you, so you can grow, so you can understand it. So I think all of us have an individual time. I think there's a second thing, and that is take advantages of the opportunity of our church. Our church's goal and responsibility is Sunday morning to teach the Scripture, Sunday night to teach the Scripture, Wednesday night to teach the Scripture, our Sunday school classes, our CBI, which is our Bible Institute, our 4-12 studies, our 2-2 studies, our other Bible studies. We have all of these times in which the Word of God is to be taught so that you can take opportunity opportunities to come and with other believers study the Scripture. That's the plan. He says, whatever is written in the past is written for your instruction, so that from your perseverance and the encouragement of the Scripture, you have the hope of the future. It's so powerful. So study the Bible. Apply it in your life. Make a decision even this morning that, you know what I'm going to do? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have my quiet time every day. That's my plan. But maybe once a week, whether it's Saturday morning or whatever it is, I'm going to begin to study on my own a book of the Bible. Maybe one of the shorter New Testament books, something like maybe Ephesians, I've always loved it, or Philippians or Colossians or 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to study it myself, and I'm going to break it down and study each passage. I'm going to observe it, interpret it, apply it. I'm going to ask the questions, who, what, where, when, why. I'm going to put this thing together. I'm going to get some books and get some background so I can understand the Word of God myself. For whatever was written in early times was written for our instruction. May we study the Bible and apply it in our lives. Now, from this, he moves to really a little different section. Now, he's going to talk about unity. He's going back to what he's already mentioned earlier in chapter 14 and some part of 15, but he's going to talk about unity. He's been dealing with relationships in the body, the strong and the weak, and the goal, of course, is unity in the body, because there's one body with many members, and we've got to be unified. Notice what he says in verse 5. I'm going to put 5 and 6 together. He says, now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the Greek, the way this is written, this is sort of a special way to put something. It's called the optimum mood, which is a wish. Paul is giving like a prayer and a wish, and he's saying, here's my wish. May God, who gives encouragement and strength, grant you to be one mind. He's saying, I wish everybody would be in unity. He's talking about the believers, and that is so vital in the body of Christ, in local churches. We have to have this unity. And we'll talk more about it in just a second on what he means. But notice how he starts it. May the God who gives perseverance and encouragement. If you notice back in verse 4, it talked about perseverance and encouragement of the Scripture. How does God give us perseverance and encouragement? He gives it to us through the Word of God. Verse 4, and basically verse 5 builds right on verse 4. Now here's his wish. May the God who gives perseverance and encouragement, here's the wish, he may grant you to be of the same mind one with another. Now, the same mind means to think the same way. It's having unity of purpose. Believers in the body are to be unified in what we believe, our goals, our dreams, our plans. As a body, we're to be working together. If somebody came to you and said, what is the purpose of this body? What is our goal and plan? Would you know? Well, the plan, of course, is Matthew 28:18-20. It's the Great Commission to make disciples. And making disciples is twofold. It's evangelism and training. We lead people to Christ and bring them into the local body and train them, equip them to do the same thing. We gather for worship and training. We scatter for evangelism and service. That's our purpose and goal, and we need to all be of the same mind. So when he says that you all have the same mind with one another, he doesn't mean we all believe exactly the same thing, but he's saying that on the big things that we hold together, we have the same purpose, the same direction. And how do we do that? We go right back to the Word of God. That's the key. You go back to the Bible. You remember the Romans passage where he says, the Hebrews passage where he says, and run with endurance, looking unto Jesus. You keep your focus on Christ, which you see Christ in the Word. You go back to the Word of God, you're going to be okay. And we're going to be of the same mind. So he says, here's my wish, that God who gives perseverance and encouragement, that he would give to you, that he would grant that you would be of the same mind, you would think in the same way with one another, according to Christ Jesus. This is his plan. Then notice the result. So that, verse 6, so that when we're all of the same mind one with another, so that with one accord, that's unity, you may with one voice, that's unity, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says the ultimate goal when we have unity one with another is that God gets glory. That's the key. What are we here for? For God to get glory. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what do you not know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's in you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies, We're to glorify God in our lives. That's the whole purpose that we live on this earth. We are not here for us. We are here to glorify God and to touch lives for Jesus Christ. He says, how are you going to do that? He says, one way that God gets glory is that when believers are in unity, that we come together and we have the same mind one with another. We're working toward the same goals, same principles. And I think it's not only individually but corporately all this happens. We exist for Him. He created us. He uses us. He plans our lives. And the plan is to glorify Him. We as believers, when we live in unity, will bring glory to God. Let me tell you, you all know that disunity brings ridicule to God. All of you in your past have heard about churches that split or big arguments within the church or that they're not unified or they're not going the same direction. One part of the church wants to do one thing, another part wants to do another. They're arguing over this, arguing over that, splits. And we all know that in the communities and that happens, the name of Jesus Christ is ridiculed. He says that when we all have this unity, that God gets glorified. He gets the glory. We want God to get the glory. We're to live in harmony with each other, having as the end result that God is glorified as we live and love and serve one another. You know, by our unity and our love, people will know we belong to Jesus Christ. What have we seen this morning? We've seen the importance of the Word of God. We've seen that both the Old Testament and New Testament are written for our instructions. We've seen that Paul deals with unity within the believers, and he says that when we're unified, the end result is that God gets the glory. So let me give you some applications. I've got some things in the applications this morning. First application is understand the importance of God's Word. I mean, let's think about it. We've already talked about it. We said, man, the Word of God. We're talking about God's revelation to us. A, God's Word is powerful. And I want you to think about it. It's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It never comes back void but accomplishes the purpose that God has for it. It is truth and it is profitable so that we can be mature and that we can serve. Now, that's pretty powerful. The Word of God. If you dig the Word of God, you are going to be changed. If you'll take truth from God's Word and make application in your life, you are going to be changed. So first of all, the Word of God is powerful. B, the Word of God is for our instruction. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, it's written for our training. It was written for our encouragement. It gives us hope. We're to study the Word of God. Now, let me tell you this. Not everything in the Bible is for you directly. In fact, a lot of things in the Bible aren't for you directly. We're not the church of Philippi. So the letter to the Philippians was originally written to Philippi. And yet there are a lot of truths and principles that we can make application from. And some of the things as we study the life of David or Samuel or Elijah or 1 and 2 Samuel or Kings or Genesis or whatever, we can make application from truths and principles from God's Word. And so the Word of God is for our instructions to help us grow as we go day by day. Here's the third thing. See, let us study the Word of God. Now, we got to do that. People don't know the Bible. You need to dig it. You may say, I don't know if I know the Bible. Well, I hope you do. Let me tell you this. They did a poll. George Gallup did a poll, and he asked people. Many of these people said that they went to church, and so they asked them questions, and they said, okay. And here's some results. 60% of the people polled did not know what the Trinity was. 66% of the people polled did not know who gave the Sermon on the Mount. And 79% of the people polled could not name one single Old Testament prophet. How about Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Elijah, Elisha? Jay Leno, the great theologian that Jay Leno is, did a man on the street. And he goes outside sometimes and asks questions. So one night he decided he's going to ask these Bible questions. And so he asked a person, first of all, he said, can you name one of the Ten Commandments? And they said, freedom of speech. And then he asked a second question, who, according to the Bible, was swallowed by a whale? And the person said, Pinocchio. We must study the Scripture. We must know it. I think there are two aspects of it, as I mentioned earlier. One is individually, you study the Scripture. And number two, corporately, as a church, we teach the Scripture. Let's talk about the goal of you studying the Bible. I think it is a key that you spend some time every week digging the Word of God. Bill Hybels said this. He said, you do not get a well-fed church by serving fast food. It is the responsibility of this local church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, 4:12, 2:2, Bible study, CBI, whatever you can name, it is the responsibility of every ministry that we do to teach the Word of God. That's all that lasts. That's what's important. It's not opinions and stories. Opinions and stories are fine, but they're not the Word of God. So it's our responsibility. The second aspect, besides what the church does, it's you individually. You got to have some time. I thought this quote was interesting. They asked Billy Graham, what would he do differently? If he could change anything about what he's done in his life, what would he do different? And he said, I would have studied the Bible more. We need to study the Bible more. So let's study the Scripture. There's a second application in this, and that let's glorify God as we live in unity. I mean, that's the key. We're to be unified. And A, let's have the same mind. That means let's think the same. And what we mean by that is let's be in one accord. Let's serve together. Let's understand our purpose, that we make disciples and we're all in this thing together. And our goals and purposes and thoughts and beliefs, we're in unity. Because what happens when we do that? B, God will be glorified by our actions. When we live in unity, God gets the glory. Because we exist for Him. We exist to serve Him. He gets all the glory. So may we understand the importance of God's Word as we study, as we live by the Scripture, having unity in our ministry with the ultimate goal that God gets the glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage, and we thank you so much for the truths. And Lord, first of all, we just want to understand how important your Word is. We realize it's powerful, it's alive, it's effective, it's truth, it's profitable, it never comes back void, accomplishes its purpose, it helps us to grow and serve, all of these things. Lord, we know that the Word of God was given for our instruction, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. And so, Lord, we want to study the Word. I pray for each one of us in this room that we will commit ourselves to, on an ongoing basis, to dig the Word of God. And then, Lord, I pray that as a local body, we will do everything we can to teach the Word of God so that we can understand it and live it out in our lives and that we can be changed. And, Lord, as we think about our relationships with other believers, that the goal is unity, to be of same mind, to have the same purpose and the goals and the dreams as we strive together, so that as we have that same mind, that our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will get the glory. And that in everything we do, God will be glorified. Lord, thank you that we can bring these requests to you. Thank you for this body of believers. Use us for your honor and your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.